Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
I met with our leadership committee of our players, and I asked them, what's your team? What do you want to do? If these players are allowed to be added to rosters, what do you want to do? And every one of them was emphatic about, they can help us win, bring them.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
3-2. And that is all she wrote. Just an absolutely horrific loss at Fenway Park. And the demons of this place get the Mariners again. 9-8, the Red Sox walk it off in 10 innings.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
How you feeling, Andrew?
Feeling fantastic. I got a weird brain fog going on today where you wake up, then you fall back to sleep, and then you wake up again. You're in that driving to work. Like, am I dreaming right now? Am I awake? Are we real? Can somebody slap me, throw some cold water on me? I think I'm here. I think we're live.
Can I tell you something? So yesterday, I was thinking about little hood to coast things I didn't share. You know, you always have a million of them.
Little details you forgot about.
And it's funny you mentioned what you just said. On the way back from Seaside, in my car was me, my cousin.
Okay.
And then Dusty's wife and her friend, who have been on our team for 2 years now.
Right.
And Dusty's wife goes, do you like doing the morning shift? How's it going? And I probably talked for 10 minutes about how this is going to kill me.
At some point, it's going to take me out. Yeah.
And it ruins about 48% of my life. Right. And part of that is brain fog.
Yes.
Something will happen or I'll be told something, and unless I write it in the moment or it's put on something,
I'm not going to remember it.
I will be like, what? And they'll be like, you don't remember it? I'm sorry. I'm half asleep most of the day.
I got nothing here. I ran out of gas 2 hours ago. You want me to remember that? My wife will do that. She'll start ranting about stuff like baby room or things that we need, and I'm like, you've been going for 15 minutes. Do you think I'm taking all this down right now? Do you think all this? You got to go in 4 minute increments with me, okay? You got a 4 minute window. Yeah. You tell me your spiel. Let's take a break. That's the end of the first quarter. Let me go do something else. I'll come back. Give me the next 4 minutes of it.
Well, I was so tired yesterday, and I didn't get enough sleep the night before the show, that I got home and I put my legs in
your compression sleeves.
And once it started, it's like a 10-minute, session.
Right, you got to lay down, can't move.
I fell asleep. I woke up, it was 1:48.
How'd those
legs feel?
And I had
58 text messages, five of them for you guys.
What's happening right now?
It's like, what is going on right now?
What time is it, in the middle of the day?
I was still tired. I had to, I got to get up.
I got to do something, man.
Can't sleep literally all day.
That's one of the fears of napping that sometimes I don't like. Now, the kid usually will handle that. He'll wake you up at some point. You can't nap for unlimited amount of time.
I remember those days.
But the idea of falling asleep and then not set, if you just doze off and you don't set an alarm for a nap, how long is this going to go? It's kind of it's just a nap roulette, dude. It could go 4 hours or it could go 20 minutes. You have no idea. You think your internal clock's going to wake you up, and next thing you know, you wake up, it's the end of the afternoon.
Well, the one thing I like is if I set up a nap, if I'm after getting a nap, I will do the 15-minute power nap.
You just kind of, fall asleep, hope you wake up right away.
That was not planned.
That was a long one.
That was, I'm just going to lay back and rest my eye.
I'll be okay.
Out.
There we go.
See you later. Night, night.
That's exactly what happened to me this morning. I know I'm up. I'm just going to lay down here for a few minutes. What time? Oh, God, I got to go. Man. Time to go to work.
There's nothing more dreadful than the idea of it saying 5:41 and I'm still at my house. Oh, my God.
It's a constant panic that happens. I have to imagine for Hood to Coast, the lack of sleep is top three on the big board of things that suck about it.
Ooh.
You obviously have the physical pain that comes with running. That's got to be number one.
That's numero uno.
Numero uno, not even close.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something else. You can probably have something adjacent to that, the follow-up soreness that probably lingers for a week. But maybe those are kind of in the same silo.
Yeah.
I imagine not, because that it would be one of my biggest fears. I'm not somebody who could sleep anywhere. I have a hard time sleeping on airplanes. I have a hard time sleeping in cars. So if you're doing the hood to coast, you're almost just signing up for 2 days of no sleep.
Well,
other than like, hey, we'll get a little pocket to go nap at the Sprague household.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like, how much time do you have?
I slept 40 minutes at my own house in my bed. I could not. I was
That's all you
like,
got. You're kind of wired. And then you start thinking about like, I have a limited amount of time. If I don't fall asleep right away, now I'm only napping for 20, you know, like you're losing time the longer it takes you to fall asleep.
Plus you got stuff you got to get ready for because you're about to do your second leg. And after that, you're not coming home. You're going to the
coast.
Middle of nowhere.
See you later, buddy. We're going over the coast range.
So you got to make sure you got everything in the car and the car is set up. And it's, yeah, there's a little bit of stress. The sleep thing is absolutely up there. If it's not number one for people, it's number two because pain, and
soreness,
the
general physical ailments that come with it.
The sleep thing is tough. When we slept the second time, we're on these county fairgrounds, and I slept in the van this year. I don't normally sleep in the van. We usually go out in the tents, and they're really great. They got all these lengthy chairs. And
it's kind of nice. Kind of lounge out a little bit.
It's great.
They
do an exceptional job. And I chose to sleep in the back of our van. Well, that was a terrible idea because it wasn't as comfortable as my nap had been earlier in the car for 10 minutes.
No.
And then when I would fall asleep, my buddy was also in the van because he forgot his sleeping bag.
Yes.
Dude, it was Chris Farley, David Spade Hotel. It was as soon as I would fall asleep, he'd be like, hey, Sprague.
You're like,
Sprague.
No.
And I'd be like, yeah.
What, man?
And he'd be like, do you like alfalfa or Spanky? Like, it would just be.
What are you talking about right now?
I had to do math at 1:12 a.m.
Would you shut up over there?
I finally fell asleep.
I'm trying to sleep.
And he goes, hey, Spray. And I go, yeah. He goes, should we leave at the scheduled time we were going to leave? And I go, what?
What?
I'm like, my eyes are asleep, but I'm talking. And he's like, well, so-and-so just left. And that's their third runner. And then so-and-so is next. And I was like, so I kind of like, I rise up a little bit. I'm like, all right, well, how many miles is so-and-so? 5. What about the next one? 6. Okay, she's a 9-minute pace. I'm starting to do the math. And
right,
I'm
how many? How much
like,
time do we have? She's got 5 miles left.
And I love this guy. He's like my brother, but
times
I'm like.
Times it by 9.
You also know all of these runners.
Yes.
Why am I the one?
This is not my responsibility.
I mean, it kind of is because I'm technically
a captain.
But
yeah. You need an associate captain for next year.
He could have also done this.
You're
so
the
like,
associate. I'm putting you in charge for while I sleep.
The funny thing was I'm calculating this. I'm calculating pace time with arrival times with. We're 40 minutes from the next exchange point, right? So it's all of these different things of math. I'm not good at math, as it's been well documented on this show.
We are horrible. We have no serviceable use there.
But I go through it, and I'm like, I'm kind of nailing it, and I'm not. My eyes are still closed. And I go, actually, we can leave 25 minutes later than we scheduled.
We got plenty of time. Now, would you shut up? I'm going to close my eyes.
And I'm just like, he's like, my wife's texting me via satellite, which is another thing I discovered is how you use a satellite to text people in no service.
Ah, when you're in the middle of the coast range.
Do you know how to do it?
No idea.
It's crazy. You open your text. Your thing usually says no service and there's no bars.
You got no action.
Your phone will now pop up and it'll say, would you like to use the satellite?
Ooh.
And I'm like,
yes, please.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Satellite Man.
And it shows you a photo of a satellite roaming Earth, and you have to, like, get your phone to follow wherever the satellite is, and then it'll connect.
It's walking around the woods.
It's how hunters text their families.
In the middle of the dark. I mean, it's a great thing that we have availability to.
It was great.
It's just a funny thing to picture, walking around. I got it!
You can do it even in the car. It's like, oh, I got it.
Right there. It's like the old, like back to old technology with the antennas, man. Just move it that way. Just a little bit, It's a little fun. Yes, there you go. Don't touch it. Put some tinfoil on it. We're good to go.
Everything
looks good. It's a clear picture.
So the sleep deprivation's a problem. It's even more a problem when you're he wants to randomly talk to you every 20 minutes.
Yeah, this is my issue with the hood. This is why I'm never going to do it, man. I got somebody talking to me in the back of the van. I also love the idea of, like, because you took out some of the rows, right, in the van. So people
could
lay down.
Rows, yeah, so we had a full back.
Brilliant
yeah.
idea. Those vans, I feel like, they always sound better in theory of, like, this will be comfortable. We'll have some room to lay down. And even me, who's a known short on this show, there's not a lot of room in those seats. Like, your head's kind of crunched up or your legs are kind of crunched up. No matter what you do, you're going to find a way to be uncomfortable in those situations.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do next year if I do it, because I took the two rows out. It was great year one. Year two, it was nice, but then you start loading the car, and you're like, Well, they have a big cooler.
Yeah.
Oh, they have a small cooler.
Space is gone immediately.
Oh, they've got there's six sleeping bags usually. Then there's right. like six different types of bags.
Right.
Then eventually what happens is you're sleep deprived, you're sore, you're tired, you're angry, you're happy. You're just throwing crap everywhere. Now yes. your van is, I mean, I had,
there's
I forgot
garbage
it again
everywhere.
Today.
Yeah.
I have Dusty's wife's jacket at my house.
Just hanging out because it was in the van. Grab it. All right, we'll get it to you at some point.
I'm the one that cleans out the van at the end because I have the rental. So I'm going through it and I pile stuff up. And if I don't recognize it, I take a photo. Whose crap is this?
Send it to the group feed. Who needs a sweatshirt?
Exactly.
Who's missing a sweatshirt right now? Well, it's going to take us down eventually, but glad to be here today. We'll see if we can survive.
It's very nice to be here.
At what point am I going to get struck down? I don't know, but that early alarm's going to get me. One of these days, man.
I was thinking, I wonder how many or how much of the conversations I'm having with Dusty's wife
mm-hmm.
that are going to trickle their way.
Oh, yeah, you gotta be careful, man. That's into, a. Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying
this is the Mrs. Brandman.
I'm not going.
Let me tell you about my boss.
Dusty. All right, let me tell you about the Brandman.
He's just real pain in the ass. I gotta deal with him every day. He comes in here with his beautiful locks. His hair's looking fantastic. He's putting me to shame for that. What's going on here?
I almost asked her, is he growing it out because you enjoy pulling it? But ooh, I did not do
we
that.
We stopped. We drew the line right there. That was the line. The hair pull was the line.
We don't really have.
Yeah.
There's no lines in the car.
That's
I just
very
didn't.
True.
Ask
yeah.
it.
I don't want to go that route.
I did utter the in the when she asked like, do you like doing it? I was like, I did say, oh, you know, 7 to 10 would be a lot better than
it would be a wonderful,
six.
Would it not? 7 one more hour.
The funny thing was, she then goes, I know, and then she goes into the whole thing about
well, she went
when
through
Dusty
it.
Hosted the yeah. morning, and then she told me everything.
Right
about he's like. Damn Blazers! Stop playing past 9!
Been there before. I know that feeling. Those NBC 7:30 tips, 7:40 tips. No, dude.
You're not even watching
no,
the
I'm
end
I'm not
of
doing
you
it,
You just
dude.
Give up.
I do
I
a half, and I'm like no.
Dirt, you see the fourth quarter? They blew a 15-point lead.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, I read about it this morning when I woke up at 4:15. I got up on everything I missed when I went to bed last night.
Oh.
It is a funny aspect of the morning routine that you don't realize is that you drag your partners through a lot. Like, they have to go through it, too. Every time my alarm, because I don't know how many alarms go off in the morning before I wake up, but quite a few do before you fully officially get out of bed. And I'm just like, I am so sorry, babe. I'm so sorry that was like 15 alarms.
Is your wife a light sleeper?
See, right now she is. She's barely sleeping because she's pregnant and uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but in normal conditions, I feel like she usually sleeps through it. Mm-hmm. But when they go off in rapid succession or sometimes you hit the wrong button, sometimes I'll have my phone and then you kind of doze off and then you accidentally click on a video and then the sound will be playing because you're like, all right, did I miss anything before I went to bed last night? And then you click a video and then that volume's way louder than the alarm and then you kind of do the, you know, wrestles you awake and you got to close the video right away. So I do feel bad what we put them through because they see it.
Yeah, I have the three alarms and if I don't get up after the first one, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, you got to
go. I can't rely on those extra alarms. I feel like they're just going to die for some reason.
They're not trustworthy. 2 and 3 alarms are not a good faith.
I would say to the crowd that hangs out with us at 6 a.m., we've always loved you and appreciated you, and I think you can understand what I'm about to say. Much like people get the Sunday scaries, whatever that point is on Sunday, where you're like, oh, crap, the whole week's about to start.
Later in the afternoon, you're like, damn it, I gotta go.
I would say 4 p.m. for me is my daily scaries of, oh, God.
I gotta go to bed
it's
in like 4
already
hours.
4 o'clock?
After my dinner time now.
This is, it's the end of the day.
Let's go, man.
And it feels so odd to say that at about a 4 p.m., even if I'm not going to bed at 8.
Right.
It's just an odd feeling to be like, God, 4 o'clock already. What's happening?
How
here?
Is it already here? Now I gotta get everything planned and ready to go.
But we are ready to go. We have a good show today.
We do. We got a packed show today.
We have a guest at 6:27.
An early guest this morning. I like it right out of the gate.
I've liked how we've done the dirty pull this year.
The slow reveal. It's a slow bleed team by team. Who's going to be number one? You got to wait and find out Friday.
Well, I was thinking about a poll question. I didn't do any poll questions yesterday. I think we posted the one poll question.
We had the one at the end of the show. Who had the worst week? What was the worst thing of the weekend? And I think the Mariners ran away with it.
Well, the Mariners deserved to run away with it. They continue to run to the bottom of the wild card standings.
Oh, did they play again last night?
Oh, yeah. They got walked off.
Okay.
Did you not hear Golden Smith at the show open? Yeah, it was the most depressing.
I actually had that on while I was working.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
How do you watch Mariner games?
Huh?
How do you watch Mariner
games? It's on Comcast. The Mariners TV channel.
Yeah, he's
on
a Comcast guy.
What channel is it on?
1261.
Oh, 61.
It's kind of like the what channel was the Blazer games on with their KPTV?
Is that the Root 4K channel?
No, they're not on Root anymore.
No, I know, but is that like they just fill in the Root with Mariner?
I think they just found an additional channel.
Yeah, the
what would it be in the 700s levels?
I don't think it's there.
It's only in 1200.
It's just 1261 and then 3000 whatever if you get the MLB extra innings package through Comcast.
You just reminded me. I am not mentally ready for the stupidness that is the Blazers television deal.
Yeah.
It's either a satellite that will randomly cut out or you have to do Blazer vision.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
I have Braves vision and it's weird. It's infinitely better than Blazer vision.
Was it really?
And I'm in Portland and they're in Atlanta.
Well, that's because MLB is running most of those.
Why isn't the NBA doing this?
They should.
They're obviously losing money on 99% of their TV.
Haven't they been kicking around the idea of putting their local games on like an Amazon Prime kind of thing?
There's been rumors that Prime would step in and run League Pass because the NBA League Pass is something I quite enjoy as a sports fan having. It's just absolutely terrible.
They don't do a good job with the technology
of it. The app is terrible. Yeah. It randomly will not have 4K option. It'll be dicey on your Wi-Fi, even if you have full connection.
Right. I noticed that last year doing it for the first time with the Blazer Vision. There'd be random nights where like, why is it not?
Well,
why is this not working at a high level?
I guess I would ask this. I understand how many teams are in a league and how many more games they play. I just find it odd that the NFL finds ways to always be on network television.
When you only got one a week, it's a little bit easier.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your Sunday ticket isn't taking you to Chiefs television. It's taking you to the affiliate
local
in Kansas
Fox
City.
Or local CBS affiliate.
Right.
Yeah,
there's not. The yeah. When I watch the Pelicans against the Wizards on League Pass, I'm watching one of the telecasts.
Right. The local channel in D.C. or New Orleans.
But it's not like ABC, CBS, Fox. It's like, welcome to Pelican Vision or welcome to the Wizard Eye. You know what I mean? Or whatever they call their broadcast.
Well,
it's just
it used to be all the regional sports networks.
KGW used to have the Blazers.
Yeah. They did, yeah. You get about 15 games a year on.
Now, KATU still has one more year on their current deal, correct?
But they get what? Isn't it 15
games?
It's
a pretty small number.
Yeah, and then they have
2.2?
Well, they have Rip City TV is what they call it. And that's the alternate.
Are they still doing? Is Danny doing stuff on that channel? Does that channel still exist?
The channel still exists. It's still.
Are they still doing stuff? I know. Last time I saw,
I haven't seen any Blazer stuff anytime recently.
So I would think
because they just play a lot of AM Northwest repeats and stuff like that.
AM Northwest.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I have no idea what the post game show is going to look like. I think we're going to have to do Blazer Vision again. It's kind of the only option. I'm not doing the I can't do the antennas.
I still have my antenna.
I still have mine. It's in a box somewhere. That was such a pain in the ass.
Well, and I had randomly, maybe it's my Wi-Fi, but I'd have moments in games where it just go scattered. And
yeah, it's an antenna. You get a little
pixelated. Like, it was really weird.
This is 2026. Yeah. What am I doing, man? It's like I'm trying
if you do
find Channel 3 for video games.
The Blazers and the Mariners and stuff, it is nice. I mean,
to have Comcast.
I pay an arm and a leg for it, and it's ridiculous. But it certainly, if I'm looking for a game, I can find it.
I think I'm going to switch my YouTube TV to
ESPN
thing.
It also has NBC Sports Network, which airs a lot of the stuff that goes on Peacock. It actually airs it on a channel, so you don't have to.
Do you have Peacock?
Open up Peacock.
Yeah.
So you're bragging about something you already have.
But it's in the normal channel matrix. You don't have to go outside, upload the app, get into the app. It's just in the TV guide.
Yeah, but that process takes how long?
That's a pain in the ass.
Open the app.
You got to open the app.
But once you're in the app,
the app.
But if you want
to find the game,
change channels or go quick flip back and forth or whatever, you can do it. It's not, that's the biggest frustration when you're in the app. You have to empty out of the app if you want to watch something else during halftime or that sort of thing. You just can't change a channel.
We're getting close. I feel like we're getting close to being able to do multi-view app.
That would be such
a Peacock, Netflix, Amazon Prime.
Yes, that's what we desperately need at this point.
YouTube
sports
TV.
Fan, like, wait till we get those Thursday night games that are on Amazon Prime, but there's also like game 6 of the ALCS is happening.
Yeah.
And you need to be
in.
I know, that's right around the corner.
Or there's Amazon Prime app to watch the Thursday night
game,
and then there's a college game that night, but I also need Fox or whatever, TBS or whatever show on it. It's like, well, all right, now I got to go back and forth. Got to have two screens.
Blazer Vision.
I'll be here before we know it, man.
Is Tom Dunning going to make this better or worse when this deal ends with K2?
I don't know. That's the big mystery.
Well, what would your guess be?
But here's the thing. This is the funny part about it. Like, how long has their TV deal been an issue for people?
Oh, I'm not blaming him for a bad deal.
No.
The Vulcans had terrible television.
It's just fun. Like, no matter, there's always somebody on the outside looking in.
Sports Network.
The NBA needs to, like, legitimately step in and say, okay, thank you. You're not making any money on this endeavor. We're going to run it, and it's all going to be funneled into
Amazon
fill in the blank
Prime
streamer
or whatever.
If you buy League Pass, or if you want to watch your team,
well, I
there
just
it
think
is.
The main thing is if you buy the League Pass for whatever league you want, baseball, hockey, it should just override all of the blackout nonsense.
Well, the funny thing is how baseball does it. I have Braves Vision. I can't watch Mariner games.
No,
I'm only getting the Braves. Now you can extend and get the bigger package.
Yeah.
But
even if you got the bigger package, I don't think you can.
That game will be blacked out.
If you just bought like the MLB Extra Innings thing or the MLB at bat, you can't watch Seattle games.
Yeah, and I'm not a Seattle fan, so
you'd have to go buy the Mariner version of the Braves Vision. That's the only way that you can watch Mariners. And you're not going to singly buy one team in order to go watch them play.
Exactly.
It's an absolute pain in the butt.
Well, sports is here.
Mariners aren't worth watching right now.
No, they're not. No.
They're a very unique fan base.
I mean, that was it.
They love to pop off on the internet about how awful they are, how much they hate their team. But if we dare on the radio suggest that they're kind of overrated or they suck, we get a backlash. I don't understand what kind of hell they live in.
Find new ways.
They're an odd fan base. Not all of them. I'm just like the loud ones.
The online ones.
They're very odd.
Yeah, not
very odd.
Not going great right now.
Loaded show today. Let's get it going. We're going to start with the dirty poll. The number 4 team in all the land, according to Andy Dur Johnson. And we're going to start with an early edition of that coming up next. Dirt and Spray. Good to be with you on this Tuesday on 105.1 The Fan.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here. As one person notes on social media, talk about disrespecting your opponent. We put out a video and it says Oregon versus Boise State.
Boy, they don't even have the eye. They're not eye worthy yet. It's too early in the season. Come on, man. That wasn't Dan Lanning. Don't take it out on him.
It's all right. Yeah, mistakes happen. Jeez, oh, Pete's, man. Jeez, oh, Pete's.
We've all been there, dude. I misspell stuff constantly.
It is a Mail Sack Tuesday, so get those Mail Sack questions in at 503-864-6326. We love the early 6 a.m. editions. We go through it every hour. We load up the Mail Sack and we get to it at the 9 a.m. hour. But we've done this a couple times and we're going to do it again. We've got the preseason top 12 dirty poll, according to one Andy Dur Johnson. He's releasing his top 12 preseason teams. He's not going to update it weekly, he said. And so these are the 12 teams he thinks are in line to make the playoff. I'm a little surprised this is where this team registers.
Uh-huh.
It's been great to be surprised by your ranking.
Do you think they would be a little bit lower or higher? Higher, I'm assuming. I guess, well, how do you phrase that?
How this is. I would have thought higher.
Okay.
Higher than number 4 is where I would have thought you would have had the Ohio State University.
The Buckeyes. Mr. Bucknuts himself.
But Bucknuts himself is joining us now. Steve Hellwagon, Bucknuts.com, does an exceptional job. He's a good friend of this program, has been for many years. On to preview Ohio State's season as they kick it off this week. They've got a November 7th tilt against Oregon, which is reportedly rumored for a 12:30 CBS kick, which is great. Steve, good morning. Thanks for hopping on. Surprised as I was that my co-host thinks Ohio State is only number 4 in all of the land.
Well, you know, that's fine. I think that it's all going to be borne out, obviously, over the next 3 or 4 months, and I think that honestly you could take 6 or 7 of these teams and put a blanket around them and you could pick them in any order, 1 through 7, and I think you'd probably be right. I'm saying everybody down to about Texas A&M. That's kind of where I draw my line. They've never done anything, and until they do, you know, as they said in Major League, well, they'd cross them off the list, you know. So I think I do believe Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, Miami, then Georgia, Texas is obviously in that group. So, yeah, those 6 or 7. Oh, Notre Dame as well. I left them out. Miami of Florida, if I didn't mention them. So, yeah, you've got six or seven teams that I think, you know, we're going to have a few matchups between them, and certainly in the Big Ten we are. And I think it's going to all be borne out, you know, over time, which team rises to the top. And the big thing is you want to get that bye, even though only one team in the first 2 years with the bye is advanced, and that was Indiana. But, yeah, I think that's the big thing you want to get.
I just I want to picture, hopefully, a Texas A&M fan listening, just being like, catching an absolute stray.
Yeah, what did they
the
do to you, Steve? Yeah. But why
you're
A&M
not wrong.
Catch stray?
You're not wrong, Steve.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. They've never done anything that matters.
They've never done anything.
No.
Until they do, I'm not going to consider. I mean, they've won a national championship in my lifetime. So.
Amen. Neither is Oregon.
Hey. No
out,
need for
Steve.
Me to
neither
catch a stray. We're talking about Ohio State here, okay?
We know Oregon's going to.
Oh.
When you're in the hunt, and I think the same for Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman. I think when you're in the hunt every year, you know, to be a top seed in this thing every year, eventually you're going to break through. Mm-hmm. So you just got to have the right combination of players, coaches, players, and, you know, we'll see how it all works out. But yeah, I'm bullish on Oregon. I think, you know, the only thing that really puts me back on, and I like USC as well this year, the only thing that puts me back is the travel. How do you overcome the travel? Although they won the Big Ten the first year in the league, but, you know, all those trips back east are just a lot to overcome, I think, for some of those West Coast teams. You know, Ohio State only has to go out there once.
Right.
You know, those teams have to come back here three or four times. So, you know, it adds up.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Let's get to the defensive side of the ball for Ohio State, Steve. That being so good last year, so dominant. I remember a couple of years ago, now I know Ohio State didn't win the national championship last year, but it kind of reminded me of that Georgia team that won the title that was so good defensively when they had like eight guys from that defense drafted, and then that thought all offseason, well, how are they going to replace these guys? And then you remember, oh, that's right, they're recruiting at a top two or three level every year, so I'm sure the guys behind them are pretty good. What's been the intel on the defense? A lot of new faces on that side of the ball, and do we think that they could duplicate the success that unit had last year?
Yeah, that's a tremendous question. Matt Patricia came in and did a great job coordinating the defense, and came from the NFL and hadn't coached college football in a long time, and he fit right in. I mean, they were number one in yards allowed, number one in points allowed. And I mean, let's look, you know, the games that they lose. They lose to Indiana 13-10. Well, Indiana went out and put, what was it, 38 on Alabama and 56 on Oregon, or whatever it was. I mean, it was, you know, they were a great offensive team, and Ohio State didn't lose that game because of its defense, or the Miami game. Miami only scored 17 on offense, and there was also a pick six interception that got them to 24. So he did a great job. They do lose seven or eight starters. They went out into the transfer portal. They got a guy named Earl Little who played previously at Alabama and Florida State. Another guy, Terry Moore, who started at Duke previously. So I got some defensive ends. Quay Rousseau came in from Alabama. James Smith and John Walker, a couple defensive tackles in the portal. So Christian Aliagro, who played at Wisconsin last couple of years, he's going to play linebacker for Ohio State. So what they didn't have, they went out and got. And that's what you have to do in this day and age. You have to embrace the churn every year and go out there. You know, even while you're in the playoff, you've got to be looking for players for next year. It's a crazy situation we're in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Steve Hellwagon, our guest here, Bucknuts, as Ohio State is number four, according to one Andy Dur Johnson's preseason top 12 dirty poll. We know they're loaded at receiver, even if one of those guys is coming in as a freshman. I know Chris Henry Jr. has turned a lot of heads in camp. The offensive line is absolutely loaded with experience. We know the running back's probably going to be fine, too, if you have an offensive line with that much experience. I'm kind of curious about Julian Sain, and I know he had a good year last year, 3,600 yards, 32 touchdowns, 8 picks. You look through the laundry list of the game logs against, you know, most of those opponents, he was good. I don't know how to put it into words, but there was something at the end where it just, I wasn't quite buying it. I don't know how to say that other than that. And then in the Big Ten title game, I, you know, wasn't overly impressed, but to your point, it was kind of a defensive slugfest more than it was an offensive output. I'm just curious, what is the leap you expect Julian Sain to take coming back again this year as a starting quarterback?
Yeah, I agree with your premise, and I think that there are a lot of people want to see what he's going to do for an encore. I think they were lulled into a sense of, you know, we are somebody because they mastered that schedule. We're 12-0, but that schedule was not the least bit difficult other than playing Texas at the beginning, and then Texas didn't turn out to be a playoff team anyway. So they were number one in the preseason. So you look at it, I think you want to see him play up in the matchup games, which there'll be 4, 5, 6 of those this year. When you're talking about Oregon and Michigan at home and going on the road to Texas, USC, Indiana, Iowa's got a great defense as well. That's 6 really, really tough games when you think about it. And they probably played like 2 or 3 of those last year, you know, before they played Indiana. So I think that the offensive line did not handle Indiana or Miami very well. Sain was sacked 10 times, threw 3 interceptions between those two games. That's just not how they had played all season, obviously. So he set a completion record, a percentage record at Ohio State, was the 3rd best all time in FBS history. And if he can, you know, maintain that clip, like 77%, and get back, you know, to being an efficient manager of the offense and running the ball when it's there for him and avoiding the sacks and avoiding the interceptions, I think he's going to have a great year. They say he's more of a leader. He's stronger. He added about 5 or 10 pounds and can really drive the ball in there now. So I'm interested to see beginning this Saturday what he looks like. I can't imagine they would keep him in there if this, they're predicted to be a 50-point favorite over Ball State. You know, the typical MO for Ryan Day is, you know, if it's 42-0 or 42-3 at halftime, they're done. And then if it's maybe a little less than that, they might play one series in the 3rd quarter. But, you know, I guess we'll have to get into Saturday's game and see what it looks like. But, yeah, I anybody who they think is going to help them beat Texas, I can't imagine will be on the field for very much of the 3rd quarter. So, you know, take that little bit of advice when you're wagering that 50 very carefully, I'll just say.
Yeah. Worry about that backdoor cover in the second half. There was some third stringers on
USC,
the
USC found that out, you know, right. The other day. They're up 35-3 and they're smoking a cigar, and then San Jose State ran circles around them in the 4th quarter. But understandable. I mean, that was 95-degree day, and your starters, you know, they proved their point. So there was no reason to play him in the 4th quarter.
Yeah, I trust the depth at Ohio State a little bit more than I do USC. I'll just say that. You mentioned something, though, Steve, that I find interesting about Ohio State this year, and that is the difference in the schedule from this year to last. Like, nobody questions the talent. Ohio State's always one of the best teams in the sport. Did they feel a sense of pressure with that Texas game in Week 2, knowing what you just laid out, and that is the games that follow? I mean, road games in the same season to Iowa, to Indiana, and to USC, the next week back at home against Oregon, then obviously the big rivalry game at the end of the year, and I know they've exercised those demons here lately, but always a tough, you know, matchup when you play Michigan. Do they feel a sense of pressure in that Texas win of, like, we saw Texas lose that game in close fashion in Columbus last year. Now, they would tell you if we didn't schedule it, we'd be in the playoff. Others would say don't lose to Florida and you're in the playoff. But right. Just knowing that you don't have as much leeway, if you will, if you drop that one in Week 2.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of loser's mentality here that, oh, if they go 9-3 with that schedule, they have to put them in. Well, you know, I guarantee you Ryan Day's not thinking about going 9-3.
Right.
And he feels the pressure even with one loss, obviously, you know, during the regular season. It's hard to get through a 12-game regular season without a loss somewhere. I mean, Indiana and Oregon both struggled at Iowa before pulling the game out, you know, in both instances. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to look at it. I mean, they have another game on the road at Nebraska, and it says here that they've sold out every game for like 40 years or something. I mean, it's a tough place to play. We're all just waiting on Nebraska football to come back. You know, that's kind of where that's at. But, you know, I agree 100% that this is going to be a really rough schedule for them. Texas on the road in Week 2. I was there 20 years ago. Ohio State played down there, and they actually went down there and won. They had a really good team with Ted Ginn Jr. and the quarterback that won the Heisman Trophy, Troy Smith, and James Laurinaitis, I think, had a couple interceptions in that game. So it's a tough place to play, no doubt about it. And we'll see you know, there's a lot of Texas people, you know, that are questioning whether Texas has what it takes to beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
So doubts maybe a little bit on both sides. I think that's normal in the preseason.
Last one for me, Steve, is what did you make of Michigan getting Kyle Whittingham? What was that dude for Michigan in terms of how it relates to the rivalry where we saw what happened last year, not long after that game, Sherrone Moore and everything that goes down. I love Kyle Whittingham. He's been on our show multiple times when he was at Utah. I think he's criminally underrated in the coaching conversation. But also, it was so out of left field that he just hung him up at Utah and then decided to take the Michigan job. I don't know what to make of Michigan. He's an adult in the room, but what do you make of it from a rivalry standpoint?
Well, I think it's a tremendous hire just because you're getting somebody who is a professional, you know, I use this term, you know, a professional football coach. He's not coaching the pros, but this is a guy who is a winner at the FBS level. And I don't think that they view him as the end-all, be-all, long-term, he's going to make us national champions again head coach. I think he's the guy who gets it back on solid ground. There's no more nonsense off the field, no more nonsense in the coaching offices. You know, everything that's gone, you know, down there that's been ridiculous, it's going to be very straightforward. It's going to be no nonsense. It's going to be about football. And I think that that's going to be a breath of fresh air, I think, at Michigan, where they've dodged one controversy after another for the last 5 years. Yeah. So I just look at it that they're bringing him in to stabilize the patient, and then, you know, they'll take it from there. I think that they'll get their you know, knight in shining armor, whoever it'll be, in about 4 or 5 years, and that'll be the guy that they really pin on putting them, you know, back in the championship picture. But they had to get somebody in there to get it solidified, you know, first. And I think he'll do that. He'll probably win 9 or 10 games most of his years there. And, you know, I don't, you know, his comments about playing Ohio State, oh, you know, great rivalry, just another game or whatever he said, you know, he'll get it eventually. And honestly, you know, I think it's an important game. Yeah. But until they get, again, all the players that they need in there to contend for a championship, you know, it's kind of just a footnote along the way. You know, I think Ohio State is cycling up, and Michigan's trying to get back on solid ground right now, is how I'd look at it.
Yeah, I was always wondering when he said those comments if Ryan reached out and said, "Hey, Kyle, we're enemies, but don't say this. They're going to threaten your life. I know it because yeah. I'm involved in it, and I've seen it firsthand." Yeah. Good stuff. Ohio State, number 4 on the top 12 preseason dirty poll. Steve Hellwagon of BuckNuts.com is our great guest. He's a good friend for us with Ohio State-based stuff, and we'll talk to you in November, Steve, when we get ready for that big Oregon and Ohio State tilt, November 7th at Columbus, reportedly at 12:30 kick, so we'll wait and see on that one officially, but we're excited for the season, and thanks for hopping on with us.
Yep, take care. Really appreciate it.
All right, there we go. Steve Hellwagon throwing a dagger at Texas A&M to start the whole thing.
Aggie fans just catching an absolute stray at the start of that interview.
Yeah, I mean, just no, there was no rhyme or reason.
No reason for it.
Other than they haven't done anything. Do something.
Look, sometimes the Ducks and the Bucknuts are on the same page. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a certain team that's not been in the dirty pool yet. A lot of people have them in the top 10. The dirty pole does not.
Yeah, you're not a big believer in them.
A&M this year. I'm a big believer in Mike Elko. I'm not a big believer in their team this year and their schedule this year.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Ohio State, number 4. We'll have to wait to see who's 3-2 and number 1 as we roll on with the dirty pole. It is 6:43. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love!
All right, welcome back in. 6:48. We got the Cafe Day. Dirt and Sprague is about to open here at the top of the hour. Got a lot to get to today. Congratulations, first and foremost, to everybody involved with finally finding the killer of one Tupac Shakur.
We did it, guys. We did it.
Dwayne Keith D. Davis had been found guilty of first-degree murder of the killing of Tupac.
Yeah, no, me being high at 2 o'clock in the morning watching things on YouTube tell me he's still alive. So I'm gonna continue to live in that world that he's just in the Bahamas somewhere. Everybody sees him once in a while.
I actually love to know the last time you were awake at 2 a.m.
It's been a while,
like voluntarily.
It's been a minute for me, but those were some great algorithms to get pulled into, were they not? Back in the day, the YouTube ones of like
he's on an island. He's actually still alive.
Is Tupac still alive? Here are the details.
I did want to get to this today, and I didn't know when we would. We have a lot of audio to get to from Dan Lanning and Jamarcus Shepherd. By the way, Shepherd will be on the show Thursday at 7.
Yeah, Beavs right out of the gate Saturday morning, 9 a.m.
Before we get to the cafe, UCLA fired their athletic director yesterday, Martin Jarmond.
Makes sense. That's something you want to do after hiring a new coach 5 days before the season kicks off.
It's a very interesting decision by the UCLA chancellor, president, et cetera, to do because, they just hired
Bob
Chesney.
Yeah.
But also, Jarman didn't really make the hire. He hired a committee, and then the committee said, hire this guy. And he said, okay, there you go. He's hired.
Right.
The reporting out of L.A. is basically they are in such a financial deficit.
Yes, they are, Bob.
That they were not showing any way to cut down the deficit, and because of that, they think somebody else can get in line to do it. Here's the difficult part. You signed up for a TV deal that makes you travel all your sports teams all the way across the country, and it's really interesting following this, and I thought this was a good point. USC, UCLA, UW, those three of the four programs on the West that went Big Ten
have had a really hard time traveling.
They've had massive restructuring within their programs. Yeah. They've had really hard times of travel stuff. The only one that has really benefited in kind of every possible way of all this is Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can argue Oregon's basketball team for the men's side is not fared well. The women have fared better than them for the most part.
There's no doubt. The basketball program has been kicked to the curb a little bit in the Big Ten.
But I think that's partly also the coach's fault of not having a general manager in the year of 2026, Lord, and not, hitting on the right things.
It's also the athletic department just saying one of these things matters significantly more than the other thing.
They were already in a financial pit before all of this, but this has only increased it. I think it's interesting how Oregon is the only one that's truly benefited so far from the expansion and killing of the conference in going to the Big Ten.
When you think about Steve brought up the road trips there, right? And he can bring that up with Oregon, and I understand the concerns. But to your point, that's just not a real big issue for me. Like, they've shown the ability to go on the road and handle their business wherever they go.
Them playing Maryland is not a concern. UW,
no.
I don't know if UW's going to win those
games. They were
down
by 20 points in the first half against Maryland and needed a miracle comeback in order to win it, right? We've seen USC go on the road and lose to Illinois and lose to Maryland. We've seen UCLA's been irrelevant the last 2 years, but to the point, they've had a hard time traveling. And so this was just another reminder of, like, the incompetence that some West Coast universities have. The timing of this makes literally no sense. You're right in the idea that he didn't necessarily individually hire the coach, but he was the guy that was in charge of the athletic department who just hired a coach that everybody seems to be all in on. It's the first time it felt like UCLA football has had momentum since the day they announced Chip Kelly was hired, and then you quickly kind of learned, like, oh, he still doesn't care about recruiting, and this probably won't work out very well. They have momentum, and you're citing this huge deficit in the athletic department as the main reason for firing him. How much are they paying him to not work anymore?
$6.5
million. Okay, so we got a big hole that we got to dig out of. Let's pay a guy $6.5 million to not work anymore and then go hire a new guy that will help us dig us out of the hole.
Well, the new guy's working
pro bono. There.
Oh, they're going.
It's the chancellor.
They're just going to just have that guy do it? Like, we'll see. Maybe they can dig out of the hole. The travel is incredibly expensive. The fact that they're in this bad of a spot when the main argument for going to the Big Ten was the TV deal, and they are on a tier one TV deal in the Big Ten. They're not getting half share, and you're still having this issue. It's a massive problem for them.
He should have been fired for hiring Deshaun Foster.
Yes.
I mean, I couldn't believe they kept him after firing Foster. I'm like, okay, here's where you restart, and then that guy go gets his own guy.
Yes.
And they didn't, and then he had a committee. And
what are we doing? And now you're a week before kickoff of all of your fall sports, or maybe some of them are already underway, and you just fired your AD.
I heard a snippet from Coward last week, and it was basically him. I mean, he crapped on Oregon State. He was like, yeah, I don't need to see Oregon play Oregon State, and I get all these great games. And to an extent of college football, he's right in some sense. But I think it continues to be the right opinion, and nothing has changed my mind. Like, the conference that we knew and loved should still be alive.
Yes,
I mean,
it
I think
should.
The other school, sans Oregon, would all agree with that, right?
I would agree with you.
So it's just a stark reminder of, like, you wanted to jump on with USC to make that jump. USC's done nothing but bitch and moan about how it hasn't worked for them, even though it was their
idea,
own doing.
They were the ones
to
that
escape
killed
Oregon.
A 100-year conference.
UCLA
to go to
just jumped on because they're USC's kind of B.
Right.
And then UW and Oregon at the 11th hour had kind of no. It's like, take a crappy Apple TV deal and kind of be left behind, or jump into a conference that at least gives us that money and notoriety. And so it's like, all of it just kind of crumbled that way. It's just funny UCLA has to get to this point where they're huge financial deficits and firing an
According to the
director.
ESPN article about it, the athletic department ran yearly deficits for 7 consecutive years, and they has totaled $241 million.
I don't know how you get out of this.
I don't either.
Go look at college in general in a nutshell. It's a lot of programs that are dealing
with it. Well, they're going to have to start. I mean, everything's going to get sponsored.
There was a great interview I saw with Pablo Torre, who I know some people love and some people probably don't, depending on your political beliefs. I don't know. But he brought up a great point of, we don't talk enough about how big this bubble is. And at some point,
It's going to burst.
It's going to pop.
It's going to burst in a lot of ways.
Because costs are only going up. Things are only getting more expensive. The fans are usually the ones shoveling the load of, like, hey, now things are more expensive and your TV's more expensive.
Yep.
And you're the ones that you're passing the buck on to them. And at some point, this thing's going to pop, man.
Loaded second hour. Cafe de Dirt and Sprague opens hour 2 next on The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.